Let's join in prayer a moment for Pastor John as he brings God's word. Father, as the psalmist writes, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. We ask that Pastor John's words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen. That song was first written for InterVarsity Mission Conference, where thousands of college students attend each 3 years, I think it is. That was one of the songs for one of the years that Urbana was around. So when it sang youth and strength, you know it was referring to that. Margaret Clarkson wrote a number of hymns for InterVarsity during those years. Go back sometime, if you have a hymn book at home or look it up online, read those words again. They just fill out when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They're just a beautiful way of seeing the fullness of that verse. Let's open our Bibles together. We're going to be looking at some verses in Luke 12, beginning at verse 32 and going through verse 40. Luke 12, beginning at verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Stay dressed, ready for action, and keep your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Amen. As believers, as followers of Jesus, as Christians, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. It's certain and sure. Colossians 1 verse 13 says that God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We're members of that kingdom. 2 Peter also refers to this eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're members of an eternal kingdom. We're citizens of that kingdom. Until Jesus returns, though, it will not be fully experienced on this side of eternity. When we've tasted and we've seen and we've known a lot about the kingdom already, we long for it all the more. The Lord, by the Holy Spirit, puts within our hearts that longing for the day when everything will be set right. In this passage, we're called to be prepared and ready for that great day, when Christ's kingdom, of which we are citizens, will come in all of its fullness. Are you ready for that day? I believe firmly that Laura was not ready for Friday night. She was in theory, but not in reality. Yes, Laura? Theory, she knew it was coming someday. They talked about it. But in reality, it hit hard. I trust that this morning, as we walk through this passage of Scripture, that it will instruct our hearts and minds, and that we will be a people prepared and ready for that day that Jesus Christ comes again. A prepared and ready citizen in the kingdom of God will have no fear. Put it down. We're not a fearful folk. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Why? Because God cares for each and every one of us. From the passage just before up on the screen, why don't you read it to me? Luke 12, 6 and 7. God says in his word, there in the beginning of this passage, that we need not be a people who fear because God cares for us. It says it a little bit later in 22 and 24. He says, don't be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink. Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. And then the verse that we began with, verse 32, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. How many of you are sick and tired of insurance commercials? Yeah. Don't worry, it'll be taken care of. If you don't miss a payment, it will be taken care of. If you're not too great a risk, it'll be taken care of. If you have the right policy, it will be taken care of. If you're insured for it, it will be taken care of. If the company stays in business, it will be taken care of. Brothers and sisters, the kingdom we're a part of is certain and sure. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It is your Father's good pleasure, it says there in verse 32, to give you the kingdom. It is a gift. Do not worry. Instead, consider. Think about God's goodness. Think about the ways he's held you and helped you. We can have complete assurance that God loves us and in Christ we have been accepted because that's the gospel. That's what we've hung our lives on. We're members of another community. Its priorities are different. Its people are motivated by the Lord's love because we've been accepted, because God's plan is for eternity, because Jesus Christ, our Savior, will return and fully establish that kingdom. It's natural for us to invest and work toward that kingdom right now. We can be fearless stewards of all that he's given to us. Let me say that again, fearless stewards of all that he's given to us. You see, when I talk about prepared and ready, lots of times people think, well, I got everything set. Jesus is my Savior. I can sit back and relax. A prepared and ready disciple of Jesus is not that. He is a fearless steward of the gifts that God has given. Up on the screen is a picture of my good friend Bill Iverson, who when I was a teenager dumped me in the water. I could tell you a little story about that. My friend Bill and I were in the canoe, and he came swimming up to our canoe, and he started tugging on one side, and we kept moving over to the other. He tugged on the other side and kept moving over to the other. He let go. This wild man, this fearless steward, in 1969, you know what he did in the heart of Newark, New Jersey? He bought a luncheonette and set up for business. Black, white, and everything in between was invited to come into that luncheonette and have a meal. Talk about wild man. Next picture. He was much younger back in 1969. This is him today, probably 3 years ago. He said, I'm retired. My wife has passed away. I've taken care of her for a long time. I'm now free to do some more. So at age 85, he went to the Classis of Newark and asked, is there a church that needs my help? He became the pastor of Trinity Reformed Church, and good things are happening there. He's probably pressing into 88 right now. Fearless steward of all that God has given. Right away, when we think of steward, we think of money. This guy doesn't have a lot of money, but he has energy. Doesn't always show up on time. That's one of his faults. But he has lots of energy. And he uses that for the kingdom of God. What a wild man. Wild man. What's the first thing about a citizen of this kingdom? No fear. Second thing, his or her priorities will be aligned with God's kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide for yourself money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, what happens? There's your heart. Now, Christ is not saying that we cannot own possessions. Scripture refers to private property. Scripture encourages us to save for our future, for what might come into our lives. We're not to despise what we've been given, but we're to enjoy each gift. In fact, it says in Timothy, God has given us all things richly to enjoy. So yes, we enjoy the gifts that God has given. Jesus isn't saying you're not to do that. What he is saying is he forbids here the selfish accumulation of goods. He forbids here the hard-heartedness that does not feel the colossal need of so many in the world. Pastor Brian and I are part of a Thursday morning prayer group, and Dr. Bill Brownson is part of that group. And a couple weeks ago, he said, whenever I pray the Lord's Prayer and I get to the part that says, give us this day our daily bread, I start to realize that I'm not just praying for us, meaning my family and those who live with me at Freedom Village. I'm praying for the us of the world, the us of the planet. And I begin to think about the people who don't have the basic necessities of their lives, including food. And I pray, and he had tears in his eyes at this point, I pray that they'll have all that they need. He's 88 too. Bill and Bill were roommates in college. What makes an 88-year-old still pursuing Jesus with all their hearts? Maybe the seeds of that are planted when you're Leah's age or when you're Vaughn's age or when you're Charlie's age. The company we keep will have a great impact on the kingdom of God. So these two roommates, dear friends to this day, do you see what they're involved in? Do you see their heart? They're a kingdom people who are prepared and ready. If you were to talk to either one of them, Jesus could come back today and it would be not soon enough. Yeah. Jesus is also forbidding the perpetuation of the illusion that a person's life consists in the abundance of his possessions. He's saying, stop that. Our lives don't consist in the abundance of our possessions. So here's a test for you this morning. Are you willing to part with something you have for the benefit of those who have far less? To be honest, in this world, a good number of us are too enamored, overly concerned with this earthly kingdom to be giving sacrificially. Sacrificially means it's beyond what I'm really able to do right now. To be giving sacrificially is a way to help us stay prepared and ready for that day that Jesus will come again. It'll keep our hearts there. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is it true that we could turn that around? Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is? Yeah, we could. It's the same thing, really. So look at your bank statement sometime or your Visa card thing. What's that called? Bill? And see where the priorities are. And you'll begin to see where your heart is as well. Three. One is no fear. Two is priorities are set. Three, a prepared and ready disciple will have a watchful eye. As citizens of Christ's kingdom, we are to be always expectant, on duty, watchful for the Lord's return. Back to the story in Luke 12. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Watchful, dressed, lamps lit, ready to receive the master who's returning. The twist in this story is that the master will turn around and serve his servants. That's wild, folks. We should have all gone, when we read that verse. What a thing! Truly, truly, I say to you, He will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. The first part of that story is clear. We're told to be watchful. We don't know when it will happen. We don't know the exact time, but we're always to be ready. The second part of the story, how Christ will serve his waiting servants, is surprising. Luke 22, 27, Jesus said, "I am among you as one who serves." It was foreshadowed in the upper room when Jesus bent down and washed his disciples' feet. It will come to fruition in Revelation 21. It talks about that. Follow along on the screen. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God.'" Here comes service. Ready? "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." And he who was seated at the throne said, "Behold, I'm making all things new." And he said, "Write this down, for these are trustworthy and true." That is service. You and I will share in the wedding feast. Christ will serve his beloved bride, the church, with blessing, with his presence. He will take away sorrow and death and pain. No fear. Our priorities are set. We're watchful. And such a disciple's life will also be marked by a patient readiness. If Jesus comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect. Even though there's delay, the master could return any time. In the story Jesus tells, that's between 10 o'clock at night and 6 o'clock in the morning. Outside of you third shifters, we're asleep at those times, aren't we? We tend to be nodding off at 10 o'clock, and we tend to be bleary-eyed at 6 o'clock in the morning. It was true back then, too. People were sleeping. It was normal for that to happen. But here in Jesus' story, he's asking that at the most sensitive time, at the time when most are asleep, God's people are going to be alert. His servants were to be watchful and ready, for he would come at a specific time. His coming is real. It will be actual. It will be a point in time. And to illustrate, Christ shifts the picture. He shifts it to a homeowner who's being robbed. If that man had known the time, he wouldn't have let his house literally be dug into, broken through the wall or the roof. He would have been ready, watchful, dressed, alert, ready. You see, your job and my job, the servant's job in Jesus' story, is to be there to serve the moment the master knocks. And until then, the house must be in order, the bed turned down, food being prepared. Everything else has to be going on just as though the master is right there all the time. And that's you and me again. We're fearless stewards. We're stewards who are watchful and eager to see what God's doing next and join him in that. The household must continue to do in his absence exactly what the master desired in Jesus' story and in our lives. You and I, part of the household of God, citizens of the kingdom of God, must continue to do in this waiting time exactly what the master desires. So, brothers and sisters, are you prepared and ready? Here's some questions for us as we close. Are you ready? Think about these. Will Jesus find fear-filled recluses? You know what a recluse is? Someone who never gets out. Will Jesus find fear-filled recluses or brave and true stewards of God's good gifts? Will Christ find us delighting in knowing that we're citizens of his kingdom or grumbling about our circumstances? Will Christ find us enamored with our possessions or concerned with the spiritual and physical needs of those around us? Will Jesus find us watchful and ready, or will we be oblivious to his will and way? Will his coming catch us off guard, or will we be wonderfully ready? Let's pray together. Lord, our heart's desire is that we would be a people on watch, prepared and ready, that we would be fearless stewards of your good gifts, that we would have priorities set by your coming kingdom. And Lord, we thank you that for each one of us here today, you're going to pick us up right where we are and move us further down this road of being prepared and ready. Thank you, God, for your grace in our lives. Thank you that every day is a new day. Thank you that you are making all things new. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.